Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Obviously, last regular season game. You know, the old adage, we can't let Oregon lose twice, and you can't have a hangover, you can't feel sorry for yourself. You gotta pick yourself back up and get ready for the next one. Mathematically, you know, we still have a pathway to the championship, but all we can worry about is our part of that equation, and that's where our focus lies. And we got to finish the season the right way and just be concerned with ourselves, and then we'll see what else transpires. But it's been a year of a lot of positives and obviously some negatives. But got a chance to win our ninth ball game, and that's where, like I said, our entire focus is. So, questions?
How much does not having a consistent kicking game change how you've been able to do things down the red zone?
It has affected it. Probably 4 to 6 times, I'm going to say, this season where it could have been a bigger factor in drives. We rely somewhat heavily on analytics, and there was really nothing in this past game that was on the borderline. It was all cut and dry decisions that were there to be made in this past game. But that always helps to be consistent. So, yeah.
You talked about not being in sync last on Saturday. Mm-hmm. After you've watched it back or had time to digest it, is there one particular reason why you felt like you weren't in sync on offense?
Didn't do much in the throw game. I mean, that was probably our biggest deficiency. We ran for a decent amount and had some decent production there, but we weren't sharp or as productive or as efficient in the throw game as we needed to be, and that was really the... All three of the turnovers came in the throw game. And so that was the most problematic area for us.
Are you able to quantify or put into words just how limited Cam is, or just how...
He's all right. I mean, he's out there. If you're out there, you're good to go. Like Bo Nix. Bo Nix was out there, so he was good to go. And so can I quantify it? No, other than just saying if you're on the field, then you're expected to... make plays and produce.
How much is 9-3, 7-2, which would be considered a disappointment, a measure of respect for your program?
Yeah, I think that's a valid point. I mean, we've been in the league, 12 years now, and to have a 7-2 record maybe be somewhat of a disappointment, as you mentioned, is probably a compliment in a way, But we're not focused on that. We're just obviously... trying to repeat as conference champs, but that's still, 9 games win, if we're able to get to that, is more than, 90% of the country.
Yeah. 7-2 is better than 63.
PK, you lost me.
What's your birthday?
Oh, yeah. Okay, we ignore that. Yeah, we ignore that. But thanks for bringing it up. Justin, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
With 7 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, you decided to go for it instead of taking a field goal attempt to tie it up. What was your methodology behind
that? Analytics. Watching field goals in practice. The benefit of making that first down at that point in time. Everything goes into it. But like I said, it was the goal number analytically was far greater than what
we had at that point. I mean, I think it was a go at seven, and so the composite of those different areas made that decision.
Now that you've seen film on that, did it look like the ball slipped out of Cam's hands, or did he just short arm it from?
No, I didn't detect that. I'm gonna have to ask Cam exactly.
The Oregon defense has given up some big plays, especially in the pass game. Looking back, do you wish you'd taken more shots, or were there some shots maybe that were there and just for one reason or another didn't take them? Because it wasn't a play over 18.
That was one of our biggest issues. Is we turned the ball over three times. Three biggest issues on offense were lack of chunk yardage. You know, it's just really hard to score 5 yards at a time. You know, 12, 14 play drives, those are hard to put together. So the lack of chunk yardage, the lack of production in the red zone, and the turnovers, three turnovers. Those were the three biggest issues. And you're right, there had been some susceptibility to bigger plays down the field, though we didn't make any in this game, and they did. Credit their receivers, they made two, three, four plays up the field that were a big chunk yard plays, that was one of the differences in the game.
You talked about obviously not wanting Oregon to beat you twice.
Mm-hmm.
How do you keep a team from doing that? I know you can't necessarily get into their minds or anything that way, but how do you try to help them in scenarios like this?
Well, you just got to, first of all, put it behind you as quick as you can as coaches. I mean, our mentality and our attitude, the way we approach things is critical. You know, if we walk around feeling sorry for ourselves and moping, then that, the players read that. And your players are reading you every single day. Everything you do, they're reading you, and you better be practicing what you preach. And so, it's nothing new to have that mindset when you come back to put it behind you and move forward. And all positive, like I said, as hard as that can be at times, but that's how you got to approach it. And as I mentioned, we got a chance to cap the season off with a pretty decent record if we can take care of business. And we had a chance to, I don't want to say backdoor, because it wouldn't be really a backdoor, but mathematically get back into the championship game.
Do you have any players right now sitting at three games?
Yeah, we went over that yesterday. We had three or four players in that situation.
Do you anticipate them not playing? How do you handle that?
We'll do whatever we need to win this game. So if we need to use those guys, we will. That five is the threshold. You don't want to get to five, but with projecting ahead what you might have on the schedule, we'll just have to see. But yeah, there's three guys to be exact that are right there on that that line.
Do you have a conversation with those guys who are at three about what might?
Oh yeah, we've already had those conversations, and some of our guys that are at four have already said want to preserve the year, and we agreed with them, and so we cut those guys out of it.
Will you maybe say some of the guys at three for the bowl game? Sometimes?
Yeah, that's the thing to consider. How do we get that fourth game? Where do we utilize that fourth game? And so that's a question mark right now. And then possibly a fifth game, like we said, or a bowl game plus one more. So there's possibly three games left. And so we got to make sure that we try to maximize that. And we'll just see how things play out.
How well do you know Mike Sanford Jr.? And I know you coached his dad, obviously. Mm-hmm. But how tough is it to be in a situation he's in, being the interim, and just kind of an uncertain future?
Yeah, well, I've never been in that situation, or as an assistant. Obviously, never been an interim head coach, and never been with a interim head coach as an assistant, so you'd have to ask him how tough that is, but I do know him. I know his dad very well, as you mentioned, and Mike Jr. was around quite a bit when Mike Sr. was here, and a good young football coach, and he's a guy that really has a bright future. He's already done a lot, but he's a guy that has a really good grasp of offensive football.
Any other questions?